Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truths. And in the book of Luke, and really, really enjoying just my own personal time in the book of Luke. At the time of this recording, we're just ahead of Christmas. Mm-hmm. And what a blessing to be able to be in the first couple chapters of Luke at Christmas time.
Yeah.
It's almost as if we planned it that way, but I'm not nearly organized enough to plan it that way.
Yeah.
So we left, Eric, by the way, thanks for joining us again today.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Thank you.
We left you yesterday in the first four verses of the book of Luke. And the first four verses are written in a very formal way, almost in what we would say today is legalese.
Right.
Just a kind of a court language.
Right. Well, with his intelligence, Luke, you know, that just plays right into, you know, who he was.
Who he was.
Right.
And then, okay, so not only who he was, which I think is an excellent point, but also what was the purpose? So people have asked, let me read the verses again, just so that we're up to speed. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. In other words, many people had already compiled facts about the Lord Jesus and written an account of his life. Mm-hmm. And we know two of them, Mark and Matthew, which both preceded the book of Luke.
Right.
Many scholars believe that John was written after the book of Luke. But then there were probably many other stories of the life of Jesus that just weren't included in scripture.
Right.
Luke said many have done this. Mm-hmm. Verse 2, even as they delivered them unto us. So Luke had other resources available to him as kind of a research writer that he was drawing from. But then the Bible says, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Mm-hmm. So Luke is really speaking in the language of the courtroom, where he's saying, hey, we have corroborating evidence, we have eyewitness accounts, and there was nothing that was more credible back in those days than to have multiple eyewitness accounts. So what is Luke doing? He's establishing the credibility of Jesus' ministry.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You think about what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, where he's talking about the resurrection of Christ, and he said, there were times when Jesus appeared to over 500 at one time in his resurrected body. And then Paul added this, which I thought was masterful. He said, and many of these people are alive until this day. In other words, don't take my word for it, take their word for it.
Right, go ask somebody else.
The evidence for the life, ministry, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is incontrovertible.
Can you imagine just being able to go through, if there were more writers back then, you know, just being able to go through those accounts and to see those eyewitness accounts documented?
Yeah, I picture just some of the people that were on the sidelines of Jesus' life. Like, did Bartimaeus write an account?
Right.
You know, did Mary Magdalene write an account? What about Simon the leper? You know, what about these people that we don't read about? Were they some of these eyewitnesses?
Right.
People that were at the cross, people that were there during one of the messages of Jesus. I mean, it's cool to think about.
Yeah, it'd be neat to see it from all of those different angles, and then just kind of, I mean, we can already put the pieces together in our head, but then to see all those different angles of the same story, you know, like it's incredible to, it's encouraging to think of having YouTube in heaven, you know, where you could just kind of see
YouTube
all these
in heaven.
Different
you heard it here first, folks. That's why I have you on this podcast,
right,
Eric,
listen,
because nobody else would have come up with YouTube in heaven.
So the rubber meets the road, you know.
I'm telling you.
I'm bottom shelf all the way.
And you know what's interesting about you saying that is verses 1 through 4 of the book of Luke are written in very courtroom, legalese, high speech.
Yeah.
But the rest of the book is really street level language, you know, common man language.
Right.
And that's why some Bible scholars believe that the book of Luke and the book of Acts were originally intended to be a court briefing for the Apostle Paul's court appearance in Rome.
Wow.
And that this was prepared for his lawyer. And Theophilus was a Roman official, because Theophilus would have been a name that would be not only a name, but would also be a title.
Yeah.
You think of, break down the word, Theophilus, a friend of God. Huh. So it was a title used in Judaism, as a title used even in the Roman world. It probably was an individual person, but may have been a title. And matter of fact, Luke said, most excellent Theophilus, and that would be the matter of respect one would give to a political official. Mm-hmm. So just cool things to think about. But look at verse 3. And listeners, if you're following along, verse 3 says, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first." So Luke is testifying of the understanding that God gave him, a complete understanding, "to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." In other words, Luke said, I believe that God has led me to use my gifts and abilities to set this information in a codified way so that it'll be understood, people can follow the timeline. And really, the book of Luke was written for this very reason. Matter of fact, verse 4 gives us the reason, "that thou mightest know the certainty," we ended here yesterday, "that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." So it seems to me, Eric, that whoever Luke was writing, this man Theophilus, we don't know anything about him.
Right.
But whoever this man was, what do we know? Well, we know that he had already been instructed about the Lord, and that Luke was now providing more information for his edification, for his information, for his growth.
Right, for Philophilus, right?
For Theophilus, yeah.
Theophilus, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
Or Philophilus.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Why can't the Bible names be like Ed?
Right.
You know, or Don.
Bob. Right,
Bob.
Yes. Yeah,
yeah, come on. We ought to write like the West Virginia Bible.
Right.
You know, wouldn't that be? I'm sorry, my West Virginia friends.
Wow.
Yeah, that was wrong.
That hit deep.
That hit deep.
That was rough.
I didn't mean that. Strike that from the record.
It was just neat how Luke understood it so well, you know, that he was able to lay it out for Theophilus, and just the understanding of everything that was going on at that time. Just saying that he understood it and it was of a certain nature, you know?
And back to our point from yesterday, my friends, and that is, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a credible reason to put our faith and trust in the Bible record. Mm-hmm. The Bible is not only a theological book, but it's a book of history and archaeology. It's a book of credibility. And we have every reason to put our faith and trust in the veracity of God's word. Matter of fact, the famous author Lee Strobel, the famous journalist, you know the story, how he was really trying to discredit his wife's born-again experience and began to research the life of Jesus, specifically the resurrection of Christ.
Right.
And as an honest journalist, he couldn't escape the fact that to believe in Christianity is the most logical expression of the evidence.
Right.
And so he wrote that great book, The Case for Christ.
And he was trying to disprove it. And the Lord turned his heart absolutely around and had him believe in Christ. That's an amazing story.
Yeah, the information argued for Christ, not against Christ.
Right.
And so here's a skeptic going in with every intention to disprove it. So Luke, he wrote the original case for Christ, didn't he?
Right.
You know, and then Lee Strobel just capitalized on it. Nice job, Lee.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
But that's what we're studying. We're studying now this book of Luke, which is a case for Christ. So let's dive into the first piece of information that Luke gives. So Luke now has told us he wants to set in order. So we're going to see a chronology in the book of Luke. We're going to see a coherence to the stories in the book of Luke. And he begins not with the life of Jesus, but he begins with the life of the forerunner of Jesus. Because in the Old Testament, it was very clear that Christ would not come until his forerunner came.
Right.
We see that in Isaiah 40. We see that specifically in Malachi chapter 3. We just finished our podcast last week in Malachi about the messenger of the messenger.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because here in Luke 1, we find who that messenger of the messenger is.
Right, right.
It's none other than John the Baptist.
Yeah. I was thinking about that last night, just the man of John the Baptist and who he must have been in the relationship that they had even before birth, to be honest with you. We're going to read about that, but it's just what a man John the Baptist must have been.
And Jesus said of him, the greatest born of woman.
Wow.
And that's not my opinion or yours.
Right.
That's the opinion of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So let's read a story. So verse 5, the Bible says, there was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. Of the course of Abia, there were actually 24 courses of priests, kind of like shift work. Okay. You'd work in a shift of 8 days. Abia, or we would say Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, so even his wife had a priestly lineage, and her name was Elizabeth. So here's this couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth, and what does the Bible tell us about this couple? They were both righteous before God. So, you know, Eric, it's one thing for me to be righteous before you.
Right. Yeah. We can all act like and put on the facade of, hey, I'm a righteous person. The having the certain people look at you at certain times of the day, and you having that anybody can have a double standard, you know.
But and we all do to a degree,
right?
It's for me to be righteous before you. I just have to be smart enough to fool you,
right?
And I just have to make sure that when I'm around you, I behave properly,
right? And you almost point out the good things that you are doing, so you on purpose bring up those things where it's like, oh, did you see that? Oh, and you know what I'm saying? You can put that exclamation point on certain parts of your life to where that's what they would perceive you as.
Yeah, we tend to maximize the areas where we're strong, and we tend to minimize the areas where, well, you know, that's really not that important.
Right.
So the Bible says they were righteous before God. That's a heavy statement.
Yes.
So this is the estimation of the Lord about them, which means, but this must be a righteousness that exhibits itself not only externally, we're going to see that at the rest of the verse, but also has a proper internal motivation. They're not only doing what's right, but they're doing what's right for the right reason.
Right, right.
So there's a right heart motive there.
Uh-huh.
So it says, they were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless.
Wow, puts that last word on there.
Right. So there, the blamelessness, I think, would indicate some of the heart level motivation, but they're walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. So they're fastidiously obeying God.
Right. To an nth degree. It's unbelievable. These people and God looking at them and seeing their real heart and knowing that it's coming from the right place.
Now, we know they're not perfect because the Bible says that if we say that we're without sin, we deceive ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we're not saying that blamelessness is sinlessness, but we're saying that from a sincere heart with proper motivation, to the best of their God-given ability, they're seeking to honor the Lord with their lives. Right. And here's Zacharias working as a priest. Mm-hmm. Here's Elizabeth that has a rich heritage herself. So why? Why is God introducing this couple at this time? Well, you're going to have to find out tomorrow because unbelievably, we're out of time already. But my friends, thanks for joining us. I promise you that we're going to pick up the pace. We've spent a couple days now in the book of Luke and we're in verse 6. So at this rate, I'll have to let my grandchildren pick up this podcast and finish the book. But truth be told, we're gonna start moving into the storyline a little bit more quickly. But I do want to pause and just say thank you for joining us. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. I hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen.
If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.